Los Osos CSD for 2016, and please stand for the flag salute.
Mr. Kornowski, please.
With allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Madam Clerk, the roll, please.
Director Sasania?
Here.
Director Storm?
Here.
Director Tornatsky?
Here.
Vice President Ohilski? President Wright?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. First item, number two, is the election of 2016 Board President and Board Vice President. And the procedure is going to be that we will accept nominations for the president, have public comment, then a vote, and then repeat the same thing for vice president. So with that, I'll open it up to the board.
I'd like to nominate Vice President Ohilski for president.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Are we just taking all nominations now, or are we just commenting upon the nomination? Okay, because I would like to nominate John Eric Storm.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Any other nominations? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the nomination process and open up the public comments.
Do I have to accept?
No, you don't have to accept.
I'd be honored to be nominated for vice president.
Okay. Okay. Public comment, please step forward, state your name for the record.
So what I just saw, my name's Julie Tacker, and what I just saw is John Eric nominated Marshall. Chuck nominated John Eric. John Eric has declined. That leaves Marshall. Did anybody else want to make another recommendation? I'll make mine. And while I appreciate Marshall working in the vice chair position this last year, he has been the president of this board in the past. He seems a little stretched with the Basin Management Committee and LAFCO, and I could go on through his resume of community service, but former President Sasania is recently retired, might have a little more flexibility in his schedule, and I personally would like to see him in the president's seat. I would like to see John Eric Storm in the vice president's seat.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Peggy Pavick. I support everything Julie just said. And let's see. Mr. Ohilski is not fit for the job, and here's why. He's already served one term as president and one term as vice president. In addition to serving on the board, he's also on LAFCO, and he's just been appointed chair to the new BMC. I'm pretty sure he's on various other committees in the area in addition to his professional affiliations. Clearly, he spread himself too thin to be a service to anyone other than building a monopoly for himself. His performance and decision-making has been anything but stellar. Case in point, why did he, Wright, and Seitz all agree to spend over $5,000 for a sham investigation in seeking to find $6,000 stolen by Kivley? Why not save the ratepayers money and fire her for cause? There was ample evidence to justify termination. Even more money was wasted on giving her a golden parachute bailout that certainly was not warranted or deserved. You are squandering the ratepayers' money. Stop it. Remember, you are here to serve your constituents, and I, too, vote for Chuck.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson, we know it's not Chuck, going to be Chuck because of the dynamics of the board. But I don't think it can be Marshall or Mike. They're the two board members that are responsible, they're partially responsible for our last three general managers. Right there, I have an issue with Marshall moving up to president again. You had a much more qualified candidate to be general manager of this district at the time, and the two of you pushed hard for Ms. Gively. I also believe Marshall's stretched thin with being on the Basin Management Committee, and you know it's in its infancy now, but it's going to ramp up, and there's going to be more responsibilities and more meetings with the county and the other purveyors, and plus LAFCO, plus estuary program, all those things. The district's going in a new direction. I think you need somebody who's has the time. I agree with Chuck. I would have no problem with John Eric moving up to president this year. But either Mike or Marshall, I think, are disqualified because of the three past general managers in 4 years.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening. Happy New Year, Lindy Owen. I too think that it's time for a complete switchover, and I can understand John Eric Storm's schedule would be just add a lot more on to him, especially with his taking on the a park group too. So I think Chuck is the person who has more experience than anybody else through the years. And I trust in his decision-making process, and I think he'd be a fabulous leader. So hopefully you'll go that way.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Linda Tornatsky, excuse me. I think Marshall is an adult, and John Eric is an adult, and John Eric has expressed an adult opinion, and I think Marshall is capable of the same thing. I would like to see either one of them in the position of president and vice president.
Okay, thank you. Any further public speakers? Okay, seeing none, we'll close this, bring it back. Okay, so John Eric, you are declining the nomination?
I decline.
Okay, so that brings us down to, we can take a voice vote by acclamation on this.
You could do it by acclamation or by voice vote.
Okay. Let's do voice vote on that. So, okay, you want to read off the names?
Director Sasania?
Can I abstain?
Yes.
Under your policy, you can.
It's a yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Vote for Marshall.
Director Storm?
For Marshall.
Vice President Ohilski.
Can you turn your mic on, please?
I said since I'm the only nominee, I am going to vote yes.
President Wright.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to the spot for Vice President, and we will take nominations.
I'd like to nominate John Eric Storm.
Okay. Do we have any other nominations? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the nominations, open it to public comment. Okay, seeing no public comment, we'll close it and bring it back for a voice vote.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Tornatsky?
Yes.
Director Storm?
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
And President Wright?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, congratulations to the new president and vice president. We'll take a 5-minute break.
Okay, we'll get back. We'll readjourn. We'll reconvene. I'm sorry. So if I could have your attention, please. Okay, I want to thank everybody for electing me and John Eric, and I think we'll be working hard in this upcoming year. I'd also like to thank Michael for his service over the last year. We've done a lot of things over the last year. I mean, we finished the stipulated judgment over the last year. We basically got the bankruptcy, all the outstanding issues resolved on that. So I think, as it was mentioned by one of the speakers, we're basically turning over a new leaf at this point, and we're moving forward into the future. So I think that's a good thing. So anyways, I want to thank Mike for his service. So with that, we'll go, and I'd like to just make a brief comment. I am going to do some restructuring of the agenda for those of you to remember, not tonight, obviously I can't, but for those of you who remember when I was president before, we had some different items on the agenda, whereas we had a specific agenda item, whereas the response to questions from previous meetings. So I am going to add that back to the agenda for future agendas. So if somebody does ask a question during a meeting, there will be a specific agenda item in the next agenda to address that particular question. So I am going to add that back in to the agenda. I would just ask for civility from all party sides at this point. I mean, it starts up here as far as I'm concerned. I know we had the League of Women Voters come and they gave that presentation, but I think civility works both ways. We need to be civil to you guys. You guys need to be civil to us. And, you know, I sort of see this as a collaborative effort between the community and the board, and I don't really want to see a divide between us and you. So that's my philosophy. And those of you who know me from when I was president before, that was the theory that I tried to operate under. So I would just request that we have civility, no personal attacks, and we try to stay on the subject that's before us. So with that, then I'll go ahead and call for public comment. And this is for public comment for items that are not on the agenda this evening, okay? So if you have a comment on items not on the agenda, now is your opportunity to speak. And please introduce yourself by your name so we have it for the
record. My name is Keith Weimer, a member of the Los Sosa Sustainability Group and Sierra Club. I'm the chair of the Water Committee of the local chapter of the Sierra Club. And first, I just want to invite you and the public to visit our new face page, the Los Sosa Sustainability Group face page. We're going to be discussing the water issues, including the Basin Management Committee and what's going on there, making recommendations about how to improve that plan to get this basin sustainable as soon as possible, and making some recommendations for what people can do, and encouraging people to participate. Also, I encourage you to go to the Sierra Club website and look at their magazine for called the Santa Lucian for articles on the basin. I also wanted to request, Mr. Chair, that you, I know this might not be quite the right time, but it would be better to handle it in advance, and that is to pull the Basin Management Committee report. You know, we've had two basin management committees so far since your last meeting. There's a lot that's happened, and I think the public is very interested in what's going on. And also, you know, neither one of them was videotaped, so this is a chance for people to get an idea of what happened. So I think people here might want to comment on that, and I think you would have a pretty, you know, quite a few things to report. So please, would the board, you know, pull that item so we could at least, you know, have a few more minutes to talk about it and comment on it. I have extra other comments I'd like to direct towards Margaret today, and I don't think I'm going to be able to get all of my comments in on those committee reports. Thank you.
Thank you.
Peggy Pavick. This is starting out to be another year of lack of transparency by this board. I was happy to hear Marshall say that he's going to allow questions to be answered, so that's a good start. I was disgusted as I read the erroneous comments made by Mike Wright in the New Times December 17th article. This guy really needs to check his facts before he speaks with the media. You lied when you said Kivley was given direction to implement changes going back in the books. Didn't happen. You lied when you told New Times that members of the public had made personal attacks against Kivley regarding the way she dressed or her personality. That never happened, and you know it. Instead of listening to gossip provided by Lynette Tornowski and Ed and Aaron Oakes, you might want to carefully check the facts before speaking with the media. But since you chose to play fast and loose with the truth, do everybody a favor and either let Mr. Cecenia or Mr. Storm address the media in the future.
Thank you. Any other general public comment? Apparently, yes.
Good evening. My name is April Dury. I live here in San Luis Obispo County. The first thing I wanted to address that is not on the agenda from what I see is the fact that on December 11th, it was quoted that Mr. Seitz said, in the next 10 days, there will be a report issued regarding the general manager. That was December 11th. Today's January 7th, and I have heard nothing, read nothing, seen nothing. So I would like an answer to that on the next agenda. The other thing that I'd like to address, if I step away for a second, is many months ago a public records request was made for payroll information reports on the general manager, Ms. Kivley. And this size kind of document with this much information was provided, which was very useful in me figuring out that the general manager was overcompensating herself. It was vitally important to know that. There's nothing confidential on here. There's not one social security number, mailing address, banking route information number, taxes, nothing. Strictly what she was compensated for, which is public record. Subsequently, once it was made aware that that's what this information is being used for, this became the document that was used to provide public records information. So heavily redacted as to almost not even know who it pertains to. This is grossly overdone. And again, there was nothing provided that was confidential information. It's a known number of what she gets paid per hour. This redacted auto allowance, unknown number. This redacted her hourly rate, unknown number. So I would really like an answer on your next agenda item next month, or I'm sorry, your next meeting, of why this was so overly redacted. At this point, we could never get to the bottom of a Kivley issue again based on this kind of information provided in a public records request. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Lindy, again. My public comment is I'm really disappointed to not see the closed session report. I know we keep many things secret with human resources issues, but I have not heard that General Manager Kivley has been dismissed completely. We do not know what any kind of a settlement was. We do not know what direction we're going with looking for a new general manager. I would hope that this time we pick a different team to look at applicants. We would have had a whole different 2.5 years if we had chosen Ron Munns, who was more than qualified to manage our water department and our CSD. And what you did was actually totally unacceptable. I think that I would request that we start adding an agenda item that is a Basin Committee meeting update so that the public that is able to catch these meetings can at least know what the Basin Committee decides on a monthly basis. They're about a week before this meeting, so that would not be too difficult, I hope. I'm very glad to be back in the community center. The acoustics, if I ever complained about them in the past, I'm happy. they're way better than the golf course. And I think the filming, this is a much better venue, and I appreciate coming back here. I hope that the committee meetings will go back to every month on a regular basis instead of a potential basis. That was another one of your past general manager's failures, was to reduce transparency by keeping us away from information that was happening on a weekly basis and certainly on a monthly basis. And lastly, this year I asked for more transparency than we've been seeing. I would love to see a nonpartisan approach to problem solving and to bringing issues forward to the public, and I really ask that you work with the public. We're here because we care. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Julie?
I give this to Chuck and he'll pass. Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and along the theme that's been said by previous speakers, I have taken particular issue with a New Times article that quotes both former President Baltimore and President Wright, and I have provided that article in the middle of these pages. The first page is my note to Ann Coudart asking for any record of direction given to Kathy Kivley to go back in history as far back as 2006 and reconcile books that old. And then the last page is her, Ann Coudart's, response, and that there are no records. The board never directed Ms. Kivley to go back to 2006. There are no records suggesting an auditor would not work for our district because our software wasn't up to date or our books hadn't been reconciled back to 2006. So those quotes coming from those board presidents, while I don't believe you intended to misstate the facts, perhaps the facts given to you were wrong. I am left to assume that Ms. Kivley told you that the auditors wouldn't work for the district anymore, or that somehow she needed to go back and look all the way to 2006. We had a write-off in 2011. There was no reason to go backwards. And in doing so, a qualified former accountant has characterized our books as a bowl of spaghetti. The real question going forward and turning a new leaf is, how the hell are you going to get yourselves out of a mess like this? What are we going to do now? You don't know if you had the money to settle with Ms. Kivley. You don't know if you have the money to participate in the Basin Management Committee. You don't know if you have the money to dig yourself out of this hole, because our financials have not been accurate, have not been accurately provided to this board for months or maybe years. We're here to help you. Answer questions. And if you've misheard the question, ask us again. Ask for our help, because sometimes we see things you don't.
Thank you, Julie. Lynette.
Well, so much for civility. Lynette Tornowski, Los Osos. I would like to congratulate Marshall and John Eric for being the president and vice president, and I wish you good luck, and I am hoping that you will find some way to get a general manager that will want to work in a place where they are treated like dirt. I am so unhappy with this community, and I'm so unhappy with how she's been treated. I don't know why they think anybody would want to work here after what they've done to her.
Thank you.
Could I just make a comment here, a general comment? Since we did move back here from Sea Pines, which I do think was a proper move, but I know you guys aren't up here, but we can hear everything said in the back, so if you could keep it down, it would really be appreciated. Thank you.
Richard Margetson. Ron Munns wanted to work here. I think that ends that argument. He actually wanted to help this community. I want to talk a minute about an issue that happened years ago, and I think it's something that the district needs to strongly consider going into the future, and that's the contracts for recycled water going to the schools. We're almost at the point here, another year and a half, that water is going to start flowing. And I looked at the original rates that were established that can only go up a certain percentage annually. And unless one of the two major purveyors lowers their water rates, we will never, ever be able to get back to a break-even point on that. That's a loss of revenue into the future. And it could be substantial down the road. And for the benefit to the basin of that water coming back into town and basically being irrigation water sprayed, I've heard percentages of what would actually maybe get into the basin, and it's nominal. So not only is it not the most beneficial use of the recycled water, it's also going to be a detriment to the two major purveyors financially. And I think that needs to have an analysis here pretty quick as you go forward with future budgeting for the water department. I'm going to talk about the issue of the dryland farmers later, but I think this issue needs to come forward soon.
Any other, pardon me, any other public comment on items not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, then we'll close public comment for items not on the agenda, and we'll move to the administrative and committee reports. We have our new fire chief here today for the first time. Well, actually, the second time, but the first time you'll be making
second, first time all by myself in front of this microphone. Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, congratulations on your election, and I'm here with present the Chief's Report for the month of November.
Could I make a suggestion? Since some of you're on TV, you might want to introduce yourself.
My name is Tom McEwen, and I'm the new Battalion Chief for the Los Osos Community Service District, and I said I'm here to present the Chief's Report for the month of November 2015. I mean, the month of November 2015, the Station 15 South Bay responded to 97 calls. Nine of those calls were simultaneous back-to-back calls, and five of those simultaneous calls required advanced life support. Of the 97 incidents, 62 were medical aids requiring advanced life support, and we had to send a firefighter into the hospital just one time this month with slow ambulance. So we had six fire incidents and 25 public service assists and four other emergencies. Company 15 was called in to cover the station and responded to emergencies in the month of November for a total of 10 times. Administratively, we've been working with our law enforcement in the department in order to get the background investigations done on our new reserves, and that's kind of moving along a little slowly right now because prior to coming over here, that was my job. So the good news on that standpoint is we have a new chief in that position who started on Monday, so that should pick up speed and get that done fairly quickly. And we lost one reserve firefighter from Station 15. Nathan Welch resigned and is moving on into his career. So as far as special programs and projects, we've been involved in the Operation Santa Claus this year, plus the station actually individually sponsored some kids, and we were able to help with get those presents out to the kids, plus the station went ahead and sponsored a family here locally. As far as other things, training, we've had over this last month of November, our Captain Colwell has taught about three classes for us. We've taught over 50 students from the fire service in those classes. We've had students here at the station, and we've also gone up to Monterey to represent the department and teach up there. The rope rescue course we held here in the back in the training tower was to help certify some of the area firefighters in their rope rescue, and then everything went pretty smoothly on that. We had over 64 kids come through the station in the month of November, and got a lot of chance to interact with those kids, and you know, that's a lot to us where fire prevention starts, is dealing with our younger kids. So we've had a pretty good month. It's been fairly quiet this last part of November, and looking forward to getting some information for you on the total number of calls. This went to bed about a week before we were able to get total calls for the year, so we'll have that report for you next next board meeting. The other things I did want to bring to your light, if you haven't been aware of it, Chief Lewin, the unit chief, has gone ahead and retired after, I think, like 36 years with the department. And Chief Reeder will be taking over as the acting county fire chief until a replacement's been found. And then also here locally, on January 17th, we'll be interviewing 8 prospective candidates for a Firefighter 2 paramedic position here at Station 15. So those interviews are going to be done right here at the station by the crew at the station, so we'll get a good chance to look at the people that we're trying to bring on to serve the community. Other than that, for fire prevention, you know, it's the end of month of December. It's time to make sure that we're getting our Christmas trees out of our house and we're not leaving them in big piles in the alleys to get burned. We need to get the Christmas trees disposed of as safely as possible, get all that Christmas stuff and holiday decorations taken down, and get ready for another wonderful year.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? Thank you very much.
You,
utility
Mr.
report, Margaret? Oh, you're over there. I'm sorry. I was looking for you. I didn't see you.
I'm hiding. Okay. Since there was no utility report presented in December, I've got 2 months, so I'm going to keep it kind of brief. Production for the months of October and November decreased by 16 and 22% respectively, based on the previous year's production. And our residential customers used 61 gallons per person per day in October and 49 gallons per person per day in November. That's in our water service area. And consumption was down by 24% in November and then 10% in December when compared to last year at the same time. And revenue based on billing was down 6% in November, but increased a little by 8% in December when compared to last year. The staff reported to the state in compliance with the drought emergency regulations. Our service area's production decreased by 37% cumulatively when compared to the months of June through November between the 2013 baseline year and the 2015. So that's beyond the state's mandate of 25%. So I say kudos to our water service customers. And as far as drainage is concerned, in October, staff filed the second annual report to the State Water Resources Control Board, and it's in reference to our municipal stormwater permit. And staff had a valuable assistance of Wallace Group personnel, without whom I would not have been able to complete by deadline. So my kudos to Glenn Ryder and Rob Miller. They're very helpful. Rain is the topic of the past few days. I don't have any current numbers, like what we got down at the yard. But in your board packet, there are tables that go up through November of 2015. And it looks like there was only about 5, maybe close to 6 inches so far. I don't remember if it rained in December, but we'll find out next time. We do have sandbags to be purchased. They can be purchased up at Station 15, the fire station, or down at the office. And we sell them for a bundle of 10 for $4.50, or 45 cents each. And the sand is also available at the fire department and then all down at the water operations yard on 8th and Elmore. I've included some information about the district's efforts searching for funding opportunities. There's also a list of potential opportunities for all kinds of projects, including water, wastewater, conservation, and energy efficiency. And that's in your packet, too. So this concludes my report for the evening, and I'm available for questions.
Any questions? Yes, Chuck?
Margaret, in December's report, page 3, that funding applications update, and thank you for that. This is the kind of thing we need to focus on, especially with revenues down. Grant funding and different things like that are going to be critical to us. So the 8 projects that you've listed there, did any of them receive any kind of supplemental grant funding? I mean, the SCADA stuff, we've talked about that for a long time, those kind of things. Any of that been funded and moving forward?
Well, the 8th Street Upper Aquifer well is moving forward.
But right.
We haven't got any kind of grant funding.
Right,
now.
We're doing that on our own.
We're
right.
Pretty much doing it on our own, yes.
And regarding that, I think the first paragraph after the list of 8 projects, you talk about how the Upper Aquifer Well was included in the IRWM applications in 2015, but the project was taken off the list due to the requirement that a basin management plan be adopted by January 1st, 2015. Then you say it remains on the list of implementation projects. So I'm a little confused.
Yeah, I know. I realized that after I
okay.
read it. It was taken off of the list of the projects that got adopted
funded.
Or got recommended for this whole area.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's just the county area. So, you know, San Simeon got in there. There were some other projects that had a little more. They had disadvantaged community. Unfortunately, we are not a disadvantaged community. So that is a really good, you know, I mean, that's what these, it just gives you more points towards getting the grants.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided, since the basin plan hadn't been adopted until after this deadline, that we would pull our Los Osos project from that list. That was submitted for, and that was their, I believe it was their third round. For
Can it go back on the list now that we've got an approved basin plan?
Oh, it's still on the list. It just didn't get
pushed for funding.
Up to the state, yeah.
Okay.
They got money for other projects in the county. And that's all available on the water.org website, SLO County.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Margaret. Okay, with that then, we'll move to the LOCAC report. Vicki? Oh, pardon me, legal counsel report. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm looking out in the audience instead of in up here.
No problem. And I'm about to give some people instant gratification regarding their public comments. My first announcement is this. The district has reached by unanimous vote of the board a confidential settlement that results in a mutual release of claims with Kathy Kivley. She will remain on paid administrative leave until January 31st, 2016, and she will then file for retirement. That concludes my report on that. Second, as I have reported in the past in regards to the Basin Plan and Basin Management Committee, I've noticed that there's been an increased kind of frustration in terms of the public comments at those meetings and that were also made at the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And I think people might just misunderstand what the purpose of the Basin Management Committee is. The purpose is not to develop a basin plan or even change the basin plan that was approved by the court until it's given a chance to either succeed or not succeed. There are specific criteria for determining whether that plan is succeeding, and it's going to take a year or two before we get any sort of real feedback from Mother Nature. I want to read the purpose of this committee for into the record, and it's part of the stipulated judgment. It's section 5.3. The purpose of the Basin Management Committee is to implement the stipulated judgment and the basin plan and to engage in other activities that may be necessary and appropriate to ensure successful implementation of that plan once designated sources of funding have been established. That is the job of the Basin Management Committee. When I say that I wanted a collaborative effort with groups such as the Sierra Club and the Los Osos Sustainability Group, what I was trying to get is that they would participate, be informed in terms of what is happening, and then when it's time to evaluate whether or not we're meeting the milestones that we're anticipating, that they would have the opportunity to participate in whatever solutions are needed at that time, if any. So that's what I meant by requesting it. Keith, if I'm disappointing you in terms of that report, I apologize, but that really is what I was intending. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Any questions of legal counsel? Okay, now, Vicki, I think.
At our last meeting, which was December 3rd, we had two projects. The first one was a proposed recreation addition to an existing residence. There were no issues with that, and we unanimously recommended approval of that project. The second one was stickier. The project is located at Bonaire, and the proposed modifications of a rooftop to accommodate a new wireless facility with six antennas installed within the building equipment. And there's, should you want more information on that, I could send it to you. LOCAC ended up not making a recommendation for action. We are instead sending a compilation of comments from the public and LOCAC members. Upcoming, this is an election year for LOCAC, so you'll be hearing quite a bit about that from me and others. Our elections take place in early May, and we will start having applications for candidate applications right after our January 28th meeting, because I'm proposing some changes and they'll need to be approved or not. Okay. Also upcoming is our Traffic and Circulation Committee meeting on Tuesday, January 12th, 5:30 p.m. here in the South Bay Community Center in the small conference room, which is down that way. I like to remind people that this is a very useful source of information about what's going on in terms of the roads, streets, and so forth. There's a representative from Public Works at every meeting he can get to. Jeremy Gent comes to those meetings and is available to answer questions on anything relating to traffic and circulation in Los Osos. So, every time my husband says, complains about something that's going on, I tell him to go to the meetings. Our land use meeting is on Thursday, January 14th at 6:30 p.m., again in the small conference room here. And that is our core business, if you will, along with traffic and circulation. So we are encouraging everyone and anyone who wishes to attend to come. Now, I have an administrative question for y'all. I have been told that you're no longer posting LOCAC agendas in the window or somewhere inside the office. If that's so, could we restart that? I do send them for posting to Ann every month.
We'll get back to you when we get done.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
This is the Traffic and Circulation Committee, 6:30? Is that?
No, I'm sorry, it's at 5:30.
Okay, thank you.
Land use is at 6:30.
Okay.
Just so that we can keep you on your toes.
That. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Steve. Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce report.
Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, Happy New Year. Looking back in 2015, at the chamber, we felt like we had a pretty good year. We started out with 131 members and closed with 146, so membership is up. And of course, by the way, you don't have to own a business to be in the chamber. We have a lot of individuals, retired folks, you know, who want to help out in the community and some of the projects that we work on. So I encourage you to give us a call if you'd like to be part of our organization. So the chamber office last year, we had 1,175 visitors, and by far most of them are from outside of the county. And we also had over 800 phone calls. So we've gotten busier over there, which I guess is a sign of that the economy's doing better. 2 years ago, the office was open just on a part-time basis, and now it's open Monday through Friday with regular hours, and we also opened, we had some Saturday hours during the summer. Normally, this is time of year when we're trying to line up all our mixers for the year, and we have to try to fill every month. Well, before Christmas, we already had six filled. People came to us. So the mixers are a good place to network and help your business. We also have a stronger social media presence than last year. We've got 730 followers on Facebook. And so for those of you that use Facebook, please come to our Facebook page and hit the like button. We won't clutter up your news feed. It'll just be mostly activities that are happening here, you know, a calendar of activities that are happening here in the community. And last thing is the, well, two things. First, the chamber installation dinner is January 23rd at the Los Osos Valley Mortuary. The 2015 Business of the Year goes to Baywood Ale House, and that's run by Chad Carroll, and they're going to be awarded an award at the installation dinner. And that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any questions of Steve? Seeing none. Okay, and I would like to, the next item is the Basin Management Committee report. And I appreciate what was said today. What I'm going to do in the future, I will take this off of the committee and agenda reports and set it up as a separate item. But since our next meeting is until February 17th of that committee, you will have an opportunity at our next board meeting to discuss it in more detail, okay? But so, because we do have 6 weeks to our next meeting. So I'm going to give the report today and leave it where it is, but in the future I will pull that off as a separate item. So we did have two Basin Management Committee meetings, primarily organizational at this point because we were under a court mandate to get our rules and regulations and get our officers set up and to get everything in place within 90 days of the court decision. So that was primarily what we dealt with. But I will go over the two agendas and what we discussed at that meeting. And like I said, in the future, we'll come in forward with more detailed presentation. And actually, I'll go into more detail about what happened at these two meetings at our February meeting. I just wasn't prepared to do that this evening, so I apologize for that. At our first meeting, which was held on December 14th, what we did was we elected our officers. Well, actually, we took the appointments from the four members of the committee, which is Los Osos CSD, Golden State, Sunset, S&T Mutual, and the County of San Luis Obispo. So from those four, the four board members were myself for the LOCSD, Mark Zimmer for Golden State, Bill Garfinkel for S&T, and Bruce Gibson for the County of San Luis Obispo. At our first meeting, we did go ahead and elect the officers. The chair was elected was myself. Mark Zimmer from Golden State was elected the vice chair. Bill Garfinkel was the secretary, and Supervisor Gibson was our treasurer. We then went ahead and we appointed an interim executive officer, which is somebody that is going to go ahead and handle basically the day-to-day operations in the short term here until we bring somebody on full-time and we're able to get the organization up and running and get funding available for that. So at our meeting, we did go ahead and appoint Rob Miller as our interim director, and he did agree to do that. And quite frankly, he's been working hard since that first meeting on moving us forward. And the last thing that we did at that particular meeting was that we, and this is something I want to go into much more detail at our next meeting about, and there will be a meeting, I think, on January 26th, if I'm not mistaken, on this particular item.
I think that's correct.
Yeah, the county is going to have a meeting. And under, I got to try to make this make sense. There is boundaries to our basin, okay, right now, and those boundaries were created by the Water Board back without a lot of technical data, and that's the 118 boundaries, okay? And the county has come up with revised
boundaries for the basin. At our meeting, our first meeting, we did recommend that the county move forward with their revised boundaries. There will be a public meeting, I believe, on January 26th. We'll post that on our website when it gets finalized. I believe it's on January 26th, at which time the county will be making a presentation to the entire community about where the revised boundaries will be for the basin. So I think that's really the first critical step that we're moving forward with as far as addressing our seawater intrusion issue. Again, that's not the Basin Management Committee that's doing that. That's the County of San Luis Obispo, because they're the responsible party for amending the basin boundaries. So I will keep you posted on that, and we'll make sure that that gets up on our website as soon as we get the finalized information on that. So that was our first meeting. Our second meeting then was just held Tuesday. And we did go ahead and the first thing we did was we agreed to go ahead and submit our stipulated judgment to the Water Resources Board, and that was a requirement that we had to do so we would become an adjudicated basin. And I don't want to go into too much depth on that, but the Sustainability Groundwater Management Act treats adjudicated basins different than it does non-adjudicated basins. So being an adjudicated basin, we basically have self-control over how this gets resolved and how we address the SGMA requirements over the next few years. If I say something wrong, Mike, let me know. So we are an adjudicated basin now under state law, and it was critical that we got that information forwarded to the Water Resources Board, which we did do. And then we also wanted to go ahead and look at some possibility of getting some grants for the projects that are going to be included in the basin management plan, or that are already included in the basin management plan, projects that we could go ahead and help to reduce the seawater intrusion. So the board did go ahead and authorize Executive Director Miller to go ahead and go out with a request for qualifications as far as somebody that could assist us in writing grant applications for the Basin Management Committee. So we did agree on that. And then we went to our regular agenda, and we adopted our rules and regulations. I think that they're pretty standard rules and regulations. That was one of the things that we had to get done under the ISJ stipulation within 90 days. We did go ahead then and authorize again Rob Miller to go ahead and move forward with coming up with a funding plan and getting some proposals from consultants for how we'd potentially go forward and fund the Basin Management Committee. This is different than the grant writing. This would be potentially for a 218 vote basin-wide or other funding potential or possibilities for this district. So we authorized Rob to move forward to go ahead and identify potential qualified consultants that we could go ahead and potentially contract with to help us in that process. And then the last thing was we made a recommendation then for an annual budget for the Basin Management Committee, which I can't bring to you guys today because we don't have it agendized. But since our next meeting is February 17th, it will be agendized for our February meeting, and we'll have it back to you, and it will go back to our next Basin Management Committee on the 17th. So that was the last item that we talked about, was just a recommendation for an annual budget for the committee. So their next regular meeting is going to be February 17th at 1:30. And that's pretty much it. Mike, did I miss anything on that?
No, the meeting will be at right here.
It will be at South Bay Community Center. That will be our regular location from now on. It's going to be the third Wednesday of the month at 1:30 at this location. Anything else?
No.
Okay, thank you. Okay, with that then, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda.
Marshall, one clarification.
Oh,
the county meeting on the 26th to deal with the basin
the boundary.
Limits, boundaries. Is that going to be here in San Luis, do you know?
It's going to be in Los Osos. Okay. It's just the location has not been confirmed yet.
Okay, thanks.
It has been?
Yes.
Oh, it will be here then, okay. So I apologize. It has been confirmed as here. So, again, that will be a discussion about the boundaries for the basin man. Okay, so with that, then, we'll move to Emergency Services Advisory Committee.
quite frankly. Chuck, do we have anything to report on that? We did. I mean, I don't think we've met since the last meeting, have we?
So much has happened since then.
Our last meeting was when we came up with the items for consideration by the board for tasks for the upcoming year. That was the last meeting that we had, correct?
That wasn't reported at your December meeting. That's why it was put on.
Okay. Yeah, so what we did, we discussed at our last meeting, then I'll bring that up. We did, we congratulated Chief Lewin on his departure. Chief Benares. That was funny because Chief Lewin knew he was retiring at the same time, but he sort of kept that under the cover because he didn't want to take anything away from Chief Benares' retirement. But that was his last meeting. But we did spend a lot of time talking about what the priorities would be that this board's going to assign to the ESAC committee for the upcoming year. And, you know, it was made clear by the committee that what those were, and quite frankly, I apologize, but I don't have those in front of me right now. But I think they included things like the level of service, the firefighter funding. And I think one of the things that came across from almost every one of the committee members was that they wanted to go back to a monthly meeting schedule in lieu of going to this quarterly or less regular meeting. So I'm sorry that I don't have a more detailed report, but Chuck, unless you have something to add to that, I think that's the overview of what happened.
No, I think that's pretty accurate. The one other thing that they're constantly mentioning is administrative draw. That'd be the other thing.
Okay. So thank you again. So then we'll move to the Finance Advisory Committee.
The FAC met on December 7th, and we had kind of a strange meeting, but the recommended tasks for next year were, in a nutshell, to get a handle on finances, things like verify the surpluses from the prior year, where the water fund stands, what the impact of the Basin Management Committee is going to be, and, of course, you know, the budget and the audit and the general things that we do. That's it.
Utility advisory?
Last meeting of the Utilities Advisory Committee, we dealt with many of the things that other committees have been talking about, which is how do we pull together financial resources to implement the basin plan now that we actually have the basin committee underway and doing things. So we talked about trying to place an emphasis on grants as opposed to other sources of financing, because grants sort of provide some relief to the ratepayers for trying to get where we need to be in a couple of years. So it'll be part of the ongoing agenda, this kind of a thing.
Move the mic over towards the
chair. Thank you.
Okay. We talked about grants to implement the basin plan. There was a great deal of discussion of that. Rob talked about his perceptions of how we should move forward. And that was basically the last meeting that we had. And many of the things that were on the utilities committee report, the committee report earlier that Margaret presented, those different kinds of grant funding are things we're going to need to look at more and more as we go forward.
Thank you. Okay, so the next item was the Parks and Rec Subcommittee report. I think, John Eric, we have that as an action item. So
yeah, we can cover that on 7.
Okay. Directors' announcements of district and community interest and reports, attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars. Got nothing there. Okay, with that then, we'll go ahead and have, is there anything on the consent agenda that anybody wants to pull at this point? Okay, seeing none, then we'll go have public comment on the administrative committee reports and the consent agenda.
Keith Weimer, Sustainability Group and Sierra Club.
First we're told participate, now we're told wait a year and see what the heck happens and maybe participate at that point. Well, we're definitely getting mixed messages, and if this is going to be a committee that's open to the public, well, have it open to the public and listen to the comments and make the improvements that need to be made. Believe it. If anybody that really digs into this basin plan and pays attention to it, you need our help. This basin plan needs help because there's contradictory objectives. There is basically no conservation program in place, no money for it. The county, you're supposed to take over the county program, but the county program, Supervisor Gibson says the county program's already done, reached its goal, and he wants to redirect the money. And then you don't have any more money for conservation. You don't recommend any outdoor program. You know, we've shown good conservation numbers in the CSD, but that's the CSD. That's not basin-wide. And that's probably because people are still waiting to hook up to the sewer and aren't doing much with their outdoor watering right now. So if you want to maintain these low numbers, you have an opportunity. And the opportunity is that, and as we suggested the other day at the Basin Management Committee, that $5 million by the county has to be spent. And we're asking the Basin Management Committee, including the CSD, to encourage the county to spend that money now to have a state-of-the-art program, because what better time to help people repurpose their septic systems, to help them put in low water use landscaping, LID, what better time than when their yards are torn up? And you can't do it any other time to repurpose a septic tank. The county program is anemic. It hasn't done nearly what it should do, and we could have a lot better program. We could have a state-of-the-art program, and we're encouraging the public to contact your representatives, including the county, including Supervisor Gibson, and all of the purveyors that are representatives on the Basin Management Committee, and use that money now, because there is no other program in our future that, unless that money is released and that program is improved. And we will continue to point out the problems with the plan, and we will continue to ask you why you allocated yourselves 200 acre feet more than you pump now, called it an entitlement pool, and then you assumed that you could reduce agricultural use and you can reduce community use and private well owners' use when you have no basis for that. They get a smaller share and you're getting a bigger share. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. Lindy?
Lindy Owen, I wanted to first say we're doing great on water, cutting back on water use. We're a great community and that we're starting to all get it. It would be nice if the rest of the community that still has lawns and doesn't care how much it costs to use water would come along, too. On legal counsel's comment, I'm pretty let down. I don't know what her retirement is, but a two-and-a-half-year position where she, as far as I'm concerned, did not earn her keep and left us in a mess. So I'm disappointed that she's getting any kind of retirement. I wanted to know if she will be paying back the money that she did take from the district with her overpaying herself for vacation time. And then on the LOCAC report, well, back to the basin plan. The basin plan promised and repeated it constantly that it would be about transparency. So when Sierra Club and Sustainability Group come forward with issues, for instance, $5 million or $3.5 million still sitting to be used for conservation, it was supposed to be used ASAP because we are in seawater intrusion. That's an issue that could be brought up at the basin committee level and needs to be talked about. So please do include the community and don't just pretend that this is about you guys making decisions that you already have made decisions about. As far as the LOCAC meeting, Does the CSD still post agendas? There are no agendas posted in the entire community of Los Osos anymore. And I brought this up with the county. I'm trying to find out if it's correct that a community advisory council can hold meetings without letting the public know what their meetings are. There is no website that holds an agenda, so there's no access to the agenda. There's no email contact unless you've already signed up with Chair Millage, and she does not share those emails, so you don't even know if somebody else got them. So I find that to be a really bad precedent for keeping the public away from these meetings. One of the issues that should have had much more attention, it did have a 30-minute State Parks presentation, was to discuss cutting out 32 trees and using park budget to do that rather than continue restoration. That was important to the community, and they were not, nobody in the community except a handful of us knew about it. Again, a cell tower was extremely controversial 8 years ago when when Bonnier wanted to put it up. So public needs to know what these things are before they can comment.
Thank you, Lindy.
Lynette Tornotsky, I just wanted to thank publicly Margaret Faulkner for doing an excellent job on the utilities report this month. There was a lot of information there, and it was really helpful. So thank you, Margaret.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and Margaret does a good job every month, so that's no surprise. That's a weird one. Sorry. The first thing I want to talk about is your warrants. 3 months ago, Mr. Seitz said his $17,000 warrant at that time, there'd be one more of those. Last month, there was a $19,000 warrant for Mr. Seitz. I have in writing that the Gardner report would be included in that warrant. The Gardner report is on this warrant packet, so it's a separate consideration. And Mr. Seitz has a $15,000 warrant this month. When are we going to get off the dole? And the reason I say that is because when I hear you talk about the Basin Management Committee, Marshall's there, Mike is there, Margaret's there, Rob Miller's there. Certainly, Mr. Seitz, Rob Miller, and Margaret are all being paid to be there. Where's all this money coming from? They have other jobs that they do for our district. I like Rob Miller in the executive role, but where's our technical expert if he's working for the Basin Committee? I have a question with that. He works for this district, so his role as the executive director, I feel, is a little conflicted. The other thing I wanted to talk about the basin plan is I don't like the meeting time. I'm unable to make the daytime meeting. I would like to see you press that those meetings be held in the evening when the majority of the public can come. In lieu of that, I'd like them audio and or videotaped. Audio is uploaded to any website at very little cost. You certainly can do that. Even if it's just your district doing that, Margaret can carry the tape recorder in her pocket and bring it back to the district and put it on the website. Do not shut us out. What I don't like about the Basin Management Committee is it seems to be about this funding and budgeting and this 218, and it's an assessment, and you're out to get tax money. This Basin Management Committee is going to tax our basin, our community, again. Let me finish my thought, Marshall. Since 2007, the county has been paying its 20% of the ISJ
with prohibition zone money. Right. Let the county pay the first year of the Basin Management Committee to equalize what they have done to the prohibition zone.
Right. Thank
they
you.
Got us in this mess.
Thank you, Julie.
They should pay to get us out.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Again, good evening. My name is April McLaughlin. Two things I wanted to speak about. One was the report from the legal regarding the Kibley situation. So there were three choices, I think, if I understand this correctly. She had a contract where she could be paid and let go with cause, without cause, or be put on paid administrative leave and given a retirement of sorts, a payout, or a way to walk away gracefully, I guess. So the next place that she goes will now be subjected to her behaviors. And any research that they do, you've now allowed her to get away with whatever's going on because you didn't offer her a one without cause. So there was something going on, and that would have given her more money, and she wants that. So clearly there was something with cause, but maybe a threat of a lawsuit caused you to think that that would be too costly. So my concern is that there's no transparency for the next agency that gets burned by her, like the agency before us and the agency coming after us and us ourselves. So that was my concern. The second thing is also having to do with the report that Mr. Gardner did. Where is that for the taxpayer ratepayers to see they paid for it? I would like that to be on the next agenda as a question. When will that report be available? And then lastly, going back to the attorney's bill, this is what we're paying $15,000 for every month, is extremely heavy redaction of unnecessary information. That's one thing that we're paying for that isn't necessary. So I'd like to leave you with this physical proof of what your attorney's bills cover.
Next speaker.
Hi. Elaine Watson, also a member of the Sustainability Group. And I also want to respond to Mr. Seitz's remarks about the way the Basin Management Plan is going to be played out. It was my understanding that this was a living document, implying that there would be a responsiveness to new ideas or input along the way as this is implemented and try to get the best practices put in place. We've been talking about metering private wells for years with virtually no traction. The Basin Management Plan does discuss metering private wells, and my understanding, it just requires the will of the four parties, and it can be done for a fairly nominal fee, I think $150,000 or something in that neighborhood. So it seems like a very good way to go. Residential lot owners are paying increasingly higher water rates to cover water production costs, and will essentially be fined for exceeding the 50 gallons per day per person. While the private well owners can pump with impunity if they choose to. Our wells are being impacted by seawater intrusion because of a long history of mismanagement and overpumping, coupled with a long drought that we've had. The solution has been just to drill deeper and keep pumping until that supply dries up, but to do it without accountability while jeopardizing everyone else's access to the share of water is not equal or fair distribution. These are new times and a new reality. We all have rights to water, and we all share a responsibility in its use and management. If you don't meter groundwater, you can't manage it. If you have no idea how much is being pumped, you can't plan or predict for the future. You can hire all the engineering firms you want to study the basin, but without that data, it's just guessing. And that's next to useless in the big picture. Metering has been done up the road in Watsonville at in the Pajaro Valley. And so they have given you a precedent and perhaps a model to proceed if you're willing to do that. Basically, we just have to meter everyone. It's common sense. And I also want to emphasize how important it is to televise the basement management committee meetings. People have to understand what's going on with the basin, and they also have to understand why they're going to be taxed with new taxes for this. Thank you.
Thank you. Richard.
Richard Margetson. The utilities report, I don't know if anybody's run the numbers for the first 6 months, but we're down $60,000 year over year with the water rate increase. And more revenue comes in annually in the first 6 months than the second 6 months. So just so you have that in the back of your mind. If you turn to the financials, the first page of the financials, I just want to give an example of something that's going on throughout the financials. Under the administrative category, I'm just start down at director's compensation. The budget's $15,000. $3,850 actually has been spent this year, leaving a remaining budget of $11,150. The column I'm concerned about is the last column, percent of total budget remaining, 36%. That's not right. The next one down, the third one down, overtime pay, $3,400 budgeted, $1,843 remaining budget, negative 61% remaining. It's throughout the entire document, almost every page. There's a few that are correct. I did find a few that were correct. And Margaret has her name on it, but this is for November, and I don't think Margaret prepared these. So maybe it's a software problem. The other comment I want to make deals with the Basin Management Committee. I guess I'll tie it in through that report. I meant Marshall heard this comment. Chuck's heard this comment because they were at the committee meeting, but recently in the last month we found out that upwards of 140 acre feet or 20% of the effluent coming from the wastewater project is going to be pumped out to dryland farmers for the next 5 years. There's 5-year contracts. That mismanagement by the county just to meet a condition to push through, is a perfect example of something that now we have to live with for upwards of 5 years to get an opportunity to correct that. First of all, can I just finish the comment? It has no benefit to the basin, zero impact on seawater intrusion, and we're selling it to them at a loss.
Okay, that...
Rob, let me just finish the last line, Marshall.
Okay, finish, but...
Rob Miller agrees that the cost to pump it to the plant, treat it, and pump it to the dryland farmers is more than $100 an acre foot. That's costing you as a purveyor money.
All right, thank you, Richard. Okay, any other speakers? Okay, seeing none, we'll close. Can I get a motion to receive and file administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda?
I so move.
Second.
Moved and second. Do we have any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, can we have a roll call then, please?
Director Wright?
Yes.
Vice President Storm?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes, with the exception of 6D. I would vote no on that.
Director Tarnowski?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes. Okay, with that, then, we'll go to general action items number 7A. This is our annual review of the board bylaws and rules of decorum. I'm going to give a little
introduction myself right now because Mike and I have talked, Mr. Wright, and we've spoken about this. So what we're doing is we're breaking a little from normal tradition, okay? So what we're going to do is we're bringing these bylaws to us for discussion today and then direction to staff, and we'll actually approve these at our next meeting rather than doing it today because we wanted to be able to have an opportunity for some substantive discussion. Also, what we will be doing, and this is just a heads up to everybody on the board, I will be appointing the committee liaisons and chairs at our next meeting in lieu of doing it today. That's why it's not on today's agenda, because I wanted to be able to have you speaking as the chair that you spoke for, or pardon me, the committee that you chaired for the last year for any discussion you may have today. So next meeting, we'll go ahead and adopt the rules and regs and the bylaws, and we'll also go ahead and I'll appoint the committee chairs at the next month's meeting, okay? And I would like to point out one thing that's come up repeatedly, but in the bylaws, that the way they read right now is it calls for monthly meetings, okay? So, I know that that particular question is going to come up, but if you look at 11A, it says each standing committee shall meet either monthly or quarterly as determined by the board of directors. So that's the decision that, you know, we can go ahead and say we want to change that to make it monthly. We can say that we want to go ahead and decide that next month because I'm going to bring committee schedule to you guys next month. Or we can say that that would be up to the discretion of the committee chair. So I just want to point that out because I do know that that's been a subject that we've talked about repeatedly over the year. But that's the way that language reads right now, and that's in 11.1A. Okay. So with that, then I'll turn it over to you, Mike.
Yes. First, I would like to report that there have been no changes in the Brown Act that would require any mandatory changes in your bylaws. But in reviewing them, I note a couple different items that you may want to consider. First of all, under 2.8, and that refers to the conflict of interest and how to get information for it. If you look at both B and C, you're going to see that those two conflict. B says that if somebody declares a conflict, that they must leave the dais and leave the room. Second, C says a member that has disclosed a conflict of interest may comment on the matter as a member of the public. Those obviously conflict, and the general rule is that you leave the room as opposed to staying. That's what we required of Director Tornatsky when we were considering the cell tower. And, I think that is the general rule, and I think that's the one that should be enforced. And so I would suggest that 2.8C be stricken. Second, and this was kind of brought up tonight, 2.9B. And that calls about how members vote. And I know you probably think I'm a broken record because I know I brought this up last year. Abstention is basically when you are voted in, I think the voters expect you to vote on every issue on which you're qualified to vote. And it is sometimes used in abstention where someone doesn't want to vote because they think it's going to make them perhaps unpopular or some other reason. My brother used to refer this as to the weenie rule, but basically the idea would be that you would remove and those abstaining, that basically the members would be voting aye or no, and those not voting due to a conflict that make you basically disqualifies you from voting, but doesn't allow you to volunteer to say, I don't want to vote. Now, that's a policy, and obviously you haven't changed it yet, but I still would encourage you to take a look at that and think about that. Also, something that's unusual in your bylaws, let's see if I can find it. I was hoping I was going in order, but I may have passed it already. You have a reference to the general manager and what her responsibilities are, or his responsibilities are. That's at Section 7, authority of the general manager. Generally, you have a contract with your general manager to basically what his or her functions are for you. And what I am always concerned about, and that's why I had suggested that you remove the the job description from your bylaws, because if that conflicted with her contract, what would rule? And likewise here, I'm not sure that it's necessary, and I've reviewed the bylaws of a number of districts, not only my own, and none of them have that provision in there. I'm just suggesting that essentially the general manager does what his or her contract provides that they do, and that we shouldn't be putting other things in other areas that may conflict with the contract. Those are my suggested changes, and in terms of, I'm going to say that the unusual thing about your bylaws are the sections in regards to your committees, but that's a longstanding tradition, and it's a policy of this board to support that. But generally, the committees and other community services districts, some larger, some smaller than this, are that you have those committees essentially to review the budget and the audit, and you might have a utilities committee to review what the construction plans are. But the rest of it is generally done by ad hoc committees. But I'm not trying to change the culture here. So I'm just saying that that part of your bylaws is somewhat unusual compared to the norm of district bylaws. Those are my comments. I can tell you in terms of the conflict of interest stuff, this is going to be our annual review year for our conflict of interest code. And there's going to be major changes in terms of how we view financial conflict of interest. And the 100-foot rule is no longer going to apply. It's basically if you could possibly be affected by your decision in a positive or negative financial way, that you would have to declare a conflict. And it basically requires, right now at least, that we get an opinion from the FPPC prior to making the decision as to whether or not it poses a conflict. And what some groups are doing, some districts are doing, is saying our community is so small that any decision that we make could possibly have a potential conflict to us, and so we would like a blanket deal that unless we have an absolute financial, that we would basically be qualified to vote. Those are all things that we're going to be talking about in the future in regards to that. This is our review year. Every district's going to be reviewing their conflict of interest codes, and everybody's going to be grappling with that concept. And you'll be getting a memo from me between now and the next meeting that will be discussing some of these things.
Thank you. Any questions before we open to public comment? None? Okay, we'll open a public comment on the rules and regulations, or pardon me, the bylaws.
Julie Tacker again, and I found the authority of the general manager an interesting observation that's unusual. But then it makes me wonder where, other than the contract, do we see the general manager's authority? Is there another place? Maybe you'll answer that. What I don't see just reading this, and I don't recall from reading the general manager's job description, is that they can enter into contracts without the board. And I have a concern over a very hefty contract that Ms. Skively entered into without board approval. And so I guess I'll be asking you to look into that separately, not here, not now. And maybe with the conflict of interest and the new rules, while the 500-foot rule is kind of out the window, there is still a barometer in that your home or your property is perhaps affected. I think, and I've seen this in other districts and cities, et cetera, where legal counsel or staff hasn't kind of done the map around each board member's properties. Maybe you need to do that yourselves, but you need to know what's coming up on the agenda, and if you're in that zone,
I see it happen a lot. I've seen board members get all the way through the discussion and say, oh my gosh, it's right across the street from my vacant lot or whatever. So, I mean, you need to be proactive for your own selves, and just as their attorney, kind of have their back a little bit. So those are my only thoughts on this. Seems pretty routine.
Thank you. Any other public comments on Lindy?
I guess I would like to agree that the general manager contract, if it is removed from the bylaws, that maybe it could be looked at as a separate item. I think we need a better checks and balance system on it. What happened over the last 2.5 years should not have happened, and whether it's going to be the future behavior because of some board members choosing to look the other way, I think you need to strengthen what the responsibilities of your general manager are, and how many that they do need to come before the public before major decisions of expenditures without board approval happen. So I would suggest if there's a side venue to take a look at that, if you are going to pull it from your policies, bylaws. And then I didn't quite know what you meant about the committee meetings. Are you suggesting that they're just supposed to get a report and that if there were any specific item that wanted to be looked at, that we would have to form an ad hoc committee? I would like to hear more about if you're trying to suggest that our committees are pretty casual, and I think they're kind of working party committees, much more relaxed than this scenario. And I think they work very well, but I'd like to know if you're suggesting that they be restricted. Thanks.
Thank you, Lindy. Any other comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment then on the bylaws. We'll bring it back for discussion. I think I raised the point, and Mr. Seitz raised some points. So I think at the bare minimum, we need to go ahead and come to some resolution on those points, how we want to deal with them. And then if you guys have some additional points that you want to bring up, we can discuss them. So you want to go through them in the order that you brought them up, first of all?
It's up to you. But
I think that would be the best way to start, and then if people have other things, we can add them.
Right. Okay. Do you want me to lead that?
I had a point.
Yes.
When we went through the decision process with the tanks, one of the things that was going on there was I didn't realize that being less than 200 or less than 500 feet was something that made a difference. So I was involved with LOCAC on that whole discussion, and then I was trying to sort of, and it's sort of all at the last minute, I had no opportunity to sort of try to fix that. So I think there's a time contingency to a lot of the things in here that we ought to be, and I don't know how you write that in there, but.
Well, you're saying there's going to be a separate rule, a conflict of interest come forward, correct?
Right. Yeah. There'll be what I would view as a fairly major change coming up in the next quarter. I think we'll be doing that. So.
Okay. All right, so let's move through in the order. So Mr. Seitz raised the point about 2.8 B and C being in conflict, and he suggested we delete 2.8 C. Does anybody have any discussion on that?
I would tend to agree, because it definitely is a conflict to have those two paragraphs, because it makes no sense, really.
Unless you want to stand at the door and yell your comments from outside or something.
But you'd have to turn around and
I think
not be able to see. Yeah.
So it's eliminate C.
Okay. It's just not workable.
Comments over Twitter.
Okay.
There we go.
I didn't need to go there. The next item was 2.9B. Mr. Seitz raised the issue about those voting aye, those voting no, and those voting due to a conflict, and then deleting and those abstaining. My thought, I mean, people can abstain because they have a conflict, so I'm not sure why we would delete that language.
Well, the parlance in which I'm used to, if you have a conflict of interest, you're not qualified to vote. And so you'd basically remain silent during the vote as opposed to saying, I abstain.
Okay.
An abstention is really more of just a way of saying, yeah, I don't really like that vote. I'm not going to vote no, but I don't really want to vote yes.
Doesn't pass the smell test for you.
Right, right. It's kind of a personal objection sort of thing.
You know, with respect to the weenie rule, I mean, if that's the case, the minutes record that person made an abstention, and when we are up to face the voters, that's fair game to be pointed out. Sure. You know, it's a normal parliamentary thing. You know, we're talking about what you see in other districts and other places. And I understand what you're saying, and I think that's good advice. But you know, enshrining that into bylaws when there's another check on that kind of behavior, I think is unnecessary.
Well, and I would. Now we got the two lawyers siding on the same side here. My point would be, okay, there may not be an issue where I have to step down, okay, where it's a financial conflict of interest, but I may feel that I have a personal conflict of interest, in which case I might want to abstain on that basis. It's not a financial, and it's not something I'm required to under FPPC. That's why I would like to keep in the abstain clause. And I understand the weenie aspect of it, but I know I have a couple of times abstained just because I wasn't comfortable voting on it, not that I was trying to avoid voting on it. So, I mean, we got to give direction, so I'll just pull you guys down the row here, what you want to do.
Well, it's always, I think, been part of the rules, parliamentary, so I don't have a problem leaving it in.
Me neither. Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. And like John Eric said, if you're going to be a weenie, people are going to point it out anyway. So,
I hope you don't mind that I bring it up again next year.
No problem.
You can keep bringing it up. Okay, so number 7, and I wasn't quite sure what your recommendation was here. I mean, I was sort of thinking that we'd leave number 7 in, but end it after... shall be responsible for those activities, functions, and duties pursuant to contract, period.
Period, right.
Is that what you were suggesting?
Yes.
Okay, then.
Or remove it all. But.
Well, I think I'd like to have it in there just so there's something that people can refer back to, you know, saying that she or he does have specific responsibilities.
Exactly. No, I like the idea of stopping it right at pursuant to contract, period, and strike B, C, and D.
If I'm not mistaken, the government code also spells out specific duties and functions for a general manager of a special district. So it's not that we're unhooked completely if this isn't in there or just relying on the contract. But, you know, if I was going to edit this, say, contract or by law.
Contract.
That's in your purchasing policies. I shouldn't be answering that question, but it's in your...
Okay, we're not... We'll answer that at the end. So you guys want to go with just terminate... Or pardon me, putting a period after contract, or you want to go with contract or as required by law? I mean...
My preference is stop it at contract and eliminate everything else, because the contract does spell out all the responsibilities, activities...
The contract would have to be in accordance with law, one would.
Right, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Okay, so is everybody fine with just ending that after contract? Okay, and then the other one that I've raised was the committees. So right now it says that's 11.1B, or pardon me, A. Each standing committee shall meet either monthly or quarterly as determined by the board of directors. So I really want to have some discussion about that, whether we want to... I assume we want to give some flexibility, but the question is, who is that flexibility to? Is it to the chairperson of the committee, or how do we want to deal with that?
Yeah, I think, you know, changing it monthly to bi-monthly, and if you want to have the committee chairs determine which way they're going to go, I think they need to consult the general manager and the president and do it in a timely manner, because typically you need a minimum of 2 weeks to get a committee packet together, if not longer. And so, you know, if you want to, if they want to, you know, change it up, and if you do say it's going, and you leave it up to at the beginning of the first meeting of the committee, the chairman wants to have monthly, that they so state so, you know, that the schedule's set up.
Well, but it could be monthly, but let's say, for example, emergency services, there's nothing to talk about next month. So,
correct.
I mean, you know, so I don't, I mean, I just, we need to, this is something we need to come to consensus on.
The, what we don't want to have happen is the committee's to be calling for a meeting, and we can't have a meeting until we have a board meeting to get approval to have a meeting. That's wrong. The committee chair should be able to call a meeting when they think there's one needed, given respect to the fact that it's going to take some staff time and general manager's time to prepare for that meeting. So you don't call a meeting 3 days from now unless it's really an emergency, that kind of thing. We have, you know, legal guidelines to follow. But I do think it's the committee chair that should be making the decision about when the committees should be meeting.
I would agree. I think the committee chairs are the board members on the committee are the ones that are going to have their hand on the pulse of the committee. And apropos of the discussion about potentially having a parks committee, that may be one where we have one meeting a year, or we have them every month. And so I see a couple ways we could do this. We could say that we're going to have them every month and assume that they're going to get called every month, and then have the committee chair be able to cancel them if there's nothing going on. That way there's no surprise on anybody, and it gives the flexibility. Another way of doing it is just have, you know, like Chuck says, have, you know, with reasonable lead time, and you know, if we can all be on our best behavior, have them be called by the committee chair, or maybe involve the vice chair or whatever. But I agree that, you know, we've had this problem of we want to have a meeting, and then we've got to go back. It's got to be on the board agenda. We've got to go through the board. And not just as a committee chairman, but as a director, I'm like, why are we doing that? You know, it's, if we're going to have a separate committee, let's have a separate committee, and that just has to be part of what we're doing. But personally, you know, I know that in there's times where, you know, once a month may not even seem like enough for certain of the meetings. I know there's been times with finance or utilities where, you know, there's things that you want to turn over quickly. But again, I'm thinking we're going to go through this process and have this park and rec committee. It maybe not be a one-size-fits-all type thing. We may want to have way less meetings with that. If, you know, that could run into a dead end real fast. I hope not, you know, knock on wood. So I guess I'm in favor of more discretion for the chairs.
Well, also in the past, the committee chairs would cancel a meeting by, you know, in discussion with the general manager or the president, because, like Marshall was saying, you may not have something. So I think if you give the committee chairs the authority to cancel, it should also give the committee chairs the power to set a meeting based on their projection or need.
I mean, we could try that out.
I think that would be, that's problematic, I think, from a staffing point of view. I would think that could be canceled by, but if we're going to call a special meeting of the committee, I think that has to work through the general manager and
definitely.
President.
Yeah.
Not just.
Well, I think it boils down to bringing back next month to the schedule.
Yes.
And I think that after the first meeting,
but I have to know how regular we're meeting before I can.
Well,
because
you could have the caveat that the chairs that get appointed by the next meeting tell you which way you're going to go, or, you know, and it is problematic. I agree in that sense.
But I do agree that it should, whether they're held monthly or they're, you know, and they're canceled, that should be up to the committee chair. I think that. Agreement, but I think if there's a special meeting, that has to be called in conjunction with the general manager.
Oh, totally.
President.
Yeah, so, and like I said, minimum of 2 weeks.
So the frequency of the meeting ought to be at the discretion of the committee chair, working with the administration of the. And
there's
certain, you know, timelines. You got to get that change date, or you may only meet once every 6 months. If and it's at the sort of.
What's
the business?
Way to look at it too, man. Well, we need some direction here. We need some consensus. At least I need three of you all to agree.
I think the way of saying we're going to schedule them monthly, we're going to come back next month with the calendar.
Right.
And say the chairs may cancel them for lack of subject matter.
Well, or attendance. I mean, that's another reason that...
Right. People don't... Right. People are like, oh, you know, all gone for the summer or whatever.
So you're just suggesting we replace by the board of directors, by the committee chair, then?
That's my suggestion. And I mean, you always have the realization that even canceling a meeting, you have to have respect for the others. You don't want
right.
to do it 24 hours in advance. That's not right.
No.
So we have consensus on that one? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. So is there any other item on here that anybody wants to bring up?
I just had one I wanted to discuss in regards to this is specific to ESAC. And, you know, we have Zone 9I, which is, you know, east of the river or the creek. And they pay, you know, into our fire system. And I think if there's some way legally we can word it to allow people that live in 9I to apply for ESAC, because they do have a stake in the fire department. Is that... Or is it too special of a district 9I to allow that?
It's your board policy that basically says that only residents can be on your committees. So it's since it's a policy, and I don't believe that there's any law that says that they have to be with residents of your community. And I understand what Director Wright is saying in terms of those people having to are affected by the decisions of that committee. You might be able to broaden it out if you wanted to, and I could take a look at it.
It's totally.
No, I understand what you're saying, and that makes sense that people that are being served by our fire services would be allowed to serve on our fire committee. So why don't you, if you could take a look at that, Mike, and come back with.
I think you can do it.
We'll take a look at it and get back to us next meeting.
Okay.
And I said one other item. Just for consideration.
Oh, you get no longer
no
president,
more?
Now you end up being Chatty Cathy?
Yeah, well, you know, hey, that's your job now. So anyway, the thought is we have, you know, staff is tied up a lot with the preparing of the committee meetings, et cetera, the agendas and all that. And I don't know if it's feasible to consider, instead of having staff there to be the secretary to the committees, is to have a member of the committee appointed to be the secretary to take the minutes and then give it to staff? Or do you think that's too problematic? I'm just looking at it strictly from a staff point of view.
I appreciate what you're saying, but I think from a responsibility point of view that may be problematic. Okay. Because if we have a member of the committee taking the minutes, what happens if something came up that they didn't like, and then, oops, there's an 18-minute gap in the recording, you know.
Nixonian committee member. Okay, I decided to throw it out for, you know, consideration.
Okay, so any other direction that we'd like to give? Okay, so let's move to our next agenda item.
Do we have to give...
I think we
formal
give direction.
Decision.
I don't. We need
formal.
It.
Okay.
We don't need anything formal.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll move to 7B, Margaret.
Okay. This is regarding your Parks and Recreation Standing Advisory Committee. You wanted to add that. You want to go ahead and take this, Mr. Vice President Storm.
My report from the ad hoc committee has been. I guess it's not in this book, but it's been in the last couple times.
Summary, yes.
Oh, okay. the concern I have, you know, I do want to go ahead and add a committee, and I probably should have brought this up during the bylaws. I don't know if there's a way where we can create this committee with the people that we already have, you know, being appointed directly. It's a good group of people. They've been involved, they've been willing to take this up. I don't know how the rest of you feel about that. I feel like those are the people we should be appointing to the committee, and I don't know if we, you know, we have the bylaws about how we have to post it. I guess we could do that, but if there's a way to suspend the rules on that, Just out of consideration for those people that have been on it, I think that they are willing to serve. And we've been waiting a long time to get this going. And, you know, frankly, I would have wanted to have taken this step a while ago with a lot of less procedural hoops than we've gone through. So that's really my only other point about that, other than, you know, we have some money that's been flagged for parks and recreation. We have the power. LAFCO gave this entity the power to provide parks and recreation services to the community. We don't have an ongoing stream of money for it. So within those limitations, I think it would be nice to run all those things through a public process and get people's input. Poppy P there. And then, you know, come have that committee advise us on what, if anything, we can do. And the ideas that have come out of it have been very interesting at this point. So if anyone has any questions on that, I know we've been talking about this for almost 2 years at this point.
I wouldn't have a suggestion, though. I think as part of, instead of changing the bylaws, I think that we could go ahead and appoint those people as part of this resolution. Because remember, the members are appointed by the board. The only problem you're going to have is half of them would have to have a 2-year term and half of them would have to have a 1-year term, because that's how we alternate them. So that would be something that the chair would have to figure out, who got the 2 or the 1. But I think if we made that part of the motion, that these people would be appointed to the committee, I think would be the way to do that. Okay. And then you could ask for volunteers who wanted to go for a 1 and who wanted to go for a 2. But it does have to be a 50-50 split.
So. Right, and I wouldn't know that right now, but I could do that, sure.
Okay, so any more questions? Otherwise, we'll take public comments on the Parks and Rec Committee.
I like that you had participation, John Eric, but I still think you have to take applications like you do for any of the committees. And I think it needs to be posted like you do for the other committees, because there may be somebody out there that has missed, didn't know that this committee is out there until it's officially out there and it's part of the ongoing operations and committee schedule for the district. I mean, there may be somebody out there in the weeds that may be very beneficial to you. You can take the applications, appoint the people anyway, but I think you got to put it out there to the whole public. I think you got to be consistent with how you handle all the other committees.
Thank you. Julie?
Julie Tacker, and I applaud your work. Parks and Rec was a platform in my campaign 2002-2004. We didn't get to go very far. After the recall, to save on staff time, we ran the committee meetings, we the board members, and we kept the notes. It was a disaster without staff. But I think the overarching conversation that really needs to be had is this something that the district should be doing? Your core mission is water. There's $300,000, give or take, that was obtained through a tax. It's not pool money. It's recreation money. And why it's ever been labeled pool money is a misnomer. It is recreation money. But you have to, I think that conversation at the board level needs to be had. You have some serious financial needs, and you do have the discretion to move it. I don't like it. I have great heartburn over it because it's been there so long with lots of hopes pinned to it. But the bigger goals are the water. There are other people who think it needs to go to the low-income assistance fund. So that conversation, while it may be uncomfortable, has to be had. And the Park and Rec conversation can continue, but I hate to see a whole lot of energy on it when the big issues are still not being hashed out. And I just mentioned the low-income assistance fund, and Margaret said we're not a disadvantaged community, and maybe at another point we can get to the bottom of why that is. Why aren't we a disadvantaged community for the water issue and the water grants? So, thanks.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring it back. I think Richard did make a valid point that there
I do too. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to defer to you. It's your committee.
Yeah, I think that was a valid point, and I thank Richard for that point. We don't want to get it off to a bad start, especially when we want public participation, and we actually I think could use an extra person anyway, based on the numbers. So, assuming all those people want to come back, and I shouldn't speak for them on that either. So, that's a good point. And I would just say I think we should create that committee, and I would be willing to, assuming I get appointed to head that committee, I think it would be within the zone of what we were considering that committee for, is mostly to talk about what to do with that money. It's right now it's designated for Parks and Rec, but I don't think we would shut ourselves off to the broader financial realities, such as they might be. So.
Well, I also support the committee. I think that is, we have the opportunity to bring other members of the community in on other items. I think we have a lot of recreation support out there in the community. There's really no formal platform in Los Osos for that. This would be that platform. I think that it's a needed thing. I've been, glad to see this come forward. And we can't rely on the county parks department. We need to have our own local discussions of what we want and what we're willing to do to get it and figure out a way to do it. So, and also the applications for committee members runs through January 28th anyway, so.
There's time, man. And Lou, any other comments? We'll take a motion, or go ahead, Lou.
Well, I sat in on one of the planning meetings, and I think the great advantage of a parks and recreation activity is a vehicle to bring the community closer together. And whatever we do, I think we ought to emphasize stuff that can achieve that. So that's why you see in some communities a pool is a great thing. It may not be a great thing for us. And there are softball leagues and all sorts of things. Pulled people together because this has been a long journey.
Okay. More discussion or a motion? Got to give me one or the other.
I'll do it. I move that the board authorize the creation of a fourth standing committee entitled Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee, direct staff to add this advisory committee to the committee meeting schedule, and to advertise for the 5 appointed positions plus 1 alternate on the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee consistent with the Board of Directors' bylaws and rules of decorum.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Moved by Vice President Storm. See? Vice President Storm. Yeah. And seconded by Director Wright. Do we have any further discussion? Can we have a roll call, please?
Vice President Storm.
Yes.
Director Wright.
Yes.
Director Sasania.
Yes.
Director Tarnowski.
Yes.
President Ohilski.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, then we'll go to General Action Item 7C.
Patience.
It's up there. Good evening, President Ohilski and Vice President Storm, as well as the rest of the board. I'm here tonight with this particular item. This has been an ongoing item that's been discussed for, I'm going to have to say, 6 months or longer. It's been at several different FAC meetings. It's in regards to our investment policy as it sits. I was tasked at a recent FAC meeting to go out and look around at other districts of our size and stature to find out how they invest their monies, how they invest their reserves, how they invest their expendable cash that they have. And it was discovered through my research and through my contacts that the majority of those entities do primarily the exact same thing as what we do. We pull our money together and we put it together in a fund called the LAIF Fund, of which probably 95% of our reserves are invested in. It's close to $1 million that's sitting in the LAIF Fund for us. 980,000 approximately. Let's just round it to $1 million. That's where most of our funds are at. Now, there was discussion at one point in time as to whether or not we're getting a proper rate of return on that in order to meet our inflation goals, because as you go throughout life, inflation will eat away at your principal as far as spendable money goes. Well, we're not getting a very big rate of return on our life investment right now. We're averaging 0.27%. I didn't say 27%. 0.27% is what we're getting a rate of return on. So in one respect, we have guaranteed amount of our $1 million, but what is that $1 million going to be worth 10 years from now? That's really what it's boiling down to. Now, our recommendation and our policy has always been to protect, number one, is to protect the principal. And then number two is liquidity. Now, we definitely have the protection because the LAIF is guaranteed. The state cannot declare bankruptcy by federal law. They also cannot touch the LAIF fund for any purpose that they want. They can't just reach into it and pull it out and throw it into their general fund at all either. That's also written into statute as well. Also, part of the LAIF fund is it's very liquid. I can make a phone call with board approval, and 24 hours from that, I'll have access to every single piece of money sitting in that LAIF account. That's how quickly of a return we can get on that money. So in dire straits, in a dire emergency, we have instant liquidity. Now, that's why if you read my staff report, I indicate that the financial impact is unknown, because at this point, it is pure speculation, and it rests on your guys' shoulders to make a decision as to whether or not you want to leave the money sitting in the LAIF account, or if you choose to invest it in some other vehicle. Now, there are certain prohibited transactions which are spelled out in our investment policy, which we cannot invest in. I recommend that we keep it where it's at because it is protected. I don't want to turn us into a city like Bell. I don't want to turn us into anybody down in Orange County. Several years ago, if you guys remember the fiasco that took place down there. 0.27%, not very good, though. But at this point, I recommend no changes to the investment policy. Now, if you choose to change in the manner in which we're investing in the funds itself, that's a different story. That's a different question to be asked. But the actual investment policy as it sits, I think, is solid. I'm available for questions.
Yes, questions, Mr. Wright?
Sure. There's a certain amount of money at Rabobank. What is that amount?
Yeah, there's money sitting in Rabobank, and the thing about it is that's where some of our reserves are sitting at. There's about $2 million sitting in Rabobank. Now, the thing about it is that there was a question that was asked at the FAC meeting also as far as the money that's at Rabobank, whether or not it's guaranteed, protected. According to federal law, state law, they have to have at least 110% of our balance, because we're a municipality. We're not part of FDIC. We're a municipality, so they have to guarantee our funds to be there at every moment in time. We also have another investment vehicle at Heritage Oaks Bank. It's a $50,000 CD that was for the fire, I believe, that was purchased several years ago. That's really about the extent of our investments, is really those three vehicles. There really is no other money sitting anywhere else.
When you try to do some comparison and some benchmarking, how far did you go? I mean, in terms of geography.
Okay. In my staff report, you'll notice where I went. I went to Templeton. I went to Cambria. I went to the Five Cities area. I also went as far down, and I actually went to another area which is actually quite larger than us. I chose to go talk to Santa Maria Utilities District. The Santa Maria Utilities District is really large in comparison to us. And once again, if you look at their financial reports as well as talk to the individuals responsible for the investment there, most of their money is sitting in Leith also.
Did you go to the Bay Area?
I did not go to the Bay Area. No,
I tried to actually make money there.
Right. I tried to keep it in our local area. Also, I tried to keep our size approximately the same size. So I wanted to choose areas like Templeton, Five Cities, Cambria, et cetera, of our general size. And then I wanted to compare it to the biggest one in our area, which would be Santa Maria.
I mean, the state can't go bankrupt, but it's a sovereign entity, so it can default. But the federal government, I think, one of the things we talked about at Finance Committee was whether it would be appropriate to use the TIPS bonds, which are, you know, guaranteed by the federal government and protect your principal against inflation. Is that included in this investment policy the way it is? I don't remember if we decided we need to make a change to do that or not.
Well, if you look in the investment policy, it does not specifically say that we cannot invest in TIPS. So it is not a prohibited transaction. So you can invest in that vehicle if you so desire to. So it depends on whether or not you guys believe that that's a vehicle that you want to invest the funds in, or if would you rather keep it in the Leith account?
Well, you know, they used to say in the computer world, nobody gets fired for buying IBM. And I think that may be what's going on with Leith, is everybody's letting their principal being eaten away by a low return on that because it's perceived as safe and everything else. But and that may be the thing to do, but...
That's a very good discussion to be handled. What I was bringing to you was the actual investment policy itself, not the vehicle in which we're investing the funds into. That's another discussion that would have to be taken place at another time, either at the FAC meeting first and foremost, and then with recommendations from them coming back to you guys for the ultimate go forward with that. The investment policy as outlined is what I was bringing to you today.
Yeah, thanks. And you said that before. I'm sorry. I brought it up again. I'm just...
Any other questions?
Is there a change then in this policy that's here in front of us from what we currently operate under?
No.
So there's no change?
No.
Okay. But we still, we got back to your question. We do have the option of investing in those other bonds if we decide to look that way. But,
correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So any other questions? Otherwise, we'll go to public comment. Public comment on this item? Lindy?
It just seems like you should definitely shop around and see if there isn't another venue to make a little more interest and continue being safe and protected. That should be the discussion that you go to next, I hope.
All right. Thank you, Lindy. Richard?
This may be my shortest comment ever.
John Eric, why don't you arrange for an information packet or something, or someone to come and talk to the committee about your suggestion, including the guarantees and the security behind them. I think it's a reasonable discussion that needs to be had. And I think you're being the chair, or if you're still the chair, I think that's the way to go.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comments, bring it back to the board. Discussion or a motion?
Doesn't seem like there's a need for a change right now. We've got the latitude to look at some other things.
You're the chair of facts, so I'm deferring to you.
If this is the policy that's in place and we don't need to change it, then
we're done.
I don't have anything to do.
Okay.
I agree.
Our investment policy calls for us to make an annual determination of whether or not we're going to make the change to the investment policy. That's why we brought it to you. That's why we're doing it. So we have to have a motion in order to approve the investment policy as it sits.
Thank you for clarifying.
Then I will make that motion.
I'll second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call vote.
Is it Vice President Storm?
Yes.
Are you here?
Yes.
Director Wright?
Yes.
Director Sustainia?
Yes.
Director Chernotsky?
Yes.
President Hilsky?
Yes. Okay, that will bring, pardon me, that will bring us to the last general action item, 7D, which is to authorize the transfer of general fund contingency funds, money funds from the solid waste fund, 650. So.
Okay. Last year when you were having your budget discussion, you were noticing that at least some of the items, I think fire was one, where you didn't think that the reserves that were being appropriated were enough for that. And one of the solutions that was brought up, and something that I'm very familiar with, is the use of Government Code Section 61112, which talks about reserves. Section C of that provides as follows. If the Board of Directors finds that the funds in a designated reserve are no longer required for that purpose for which it was established, the Board of Directors may, by a 4/5 vote of the total membership of the Board of Directors, discontinue the designated reserve or transfer any funds that are no longer required to be designated from the reserve to the district's general fund. We're not in a position to do that today. What we're asking for is that you authorize us to bring that back at your February 4th meeting. And as you indicate, as a statute indicates, it refers to the district's general fund. That's a bit of a misnomer. The only funds that are not really designated for this district are those that we get through property tax, and even some of those are designated for the fire department. So really what you would be doing at the next meeting is also determining where you want these monies to go, what reserve. The discussion that I believe led to this was in regards to fire, but that's just what I recall. And so we're just seeking the go sign to bring this back at their next meeting, and you'll have a resolution.
Go ahead.
That's part of it. There's another outstanding component to this, and it has to do with the audit for the fiscal year that we're currently in. If we remain exactly the way it is right now, if we remain in the status quo and we don't do anything with the funds, what will result as the audit is there will be an audit finding found, a negative audit finding that will show up on the audit report, which is something that we as staff have no power over at all. That rests on your guys' shoulders once again. We must, there is no question, it must be transferred. Wherever you transfer it to is a difference, is up to you to make that decision. But it must be transferred out because we no longer have the solid waste function that's been sold and transferred to the county. So as far as our accounting functions go, we essentially have no fund 650. So we cannot have any components or anything related to that fund on our books. And as it sits right now, the audit report is coming very, very quickly. I just got done talking to the auditor today. We're in the final stages of this. So we must have some kind of resolution to this as quickly as possible to let them know for the final draft of the audit report in order to alleviate that particular audit finding. Otherwise, it could result in an audit finding, as well as it could actually result in an adverse opinion, which is actually worse than the audit report that we received last year. So that's why it's a very serious issue that must be resolved.
I have two questions. I'll start. First of all, I don't know how to put this. Just for your comment right now, this board still has solid waste power.
That's correct.
So I don't understand your comment, just that last comment.
I think that
we have no operating revenue, but we do have the power.
We do have the power, and we're anticipating, and the reason why we still have that power is we're anticipating at some future date that we'll retain the franchise agreement.
Right. I'm just in the context of his statement. That's what I'm trying to understand, because that was one of the rationale for why we did not give up the power when we transferred the franchise.
Right, and I cleared this process with LAFCO.
Right.
That what we're doing here, and my suggestion was that you leave a minor amount of money in that just as a placeholder for when you do get that power. when you do get that franchise back, because we still have the power. It's not in suspension. It's nothing. We just it exists as a part of our powers right now. And I don't know whether I need to talk to the auditor and make this clear to them. But I'm suggesting that I don't want us to have a negative finding in the audit over this issue. And you know, if it means that 100% needs to be transferred out in order to avoid that, then you're going to have that ability to do that next month. But what I would really need is direction as to where that money goes.
Well, that's my first question. So okay. let me get my second question out, and then I think the second question, you semi-addressed that in your comments, but you really didn't, to my satisfaction. It's the language in here that says reserve transfers are limited to funding shortfalls in other related budget categories of the particular service and to funding shortfalls in administrative services budgets. I mean, I would like to see this money transferred from a reserve to another reserve, not an operating account. Because I'm not comfortable transferring it to an operating account, quite frankly. And if that's what this means, then I have an issue.
No. The experience that I had was transferring it from one reserve to another reserve in order to finance the supplemental water project for the Napomo Community Services District. So, I mean, it goes... We don't have a general fund, per se, and I would suggest that the resolution specify what reserve these funds goes into.
So that was my question is, are they two distinct steps, declaring that we no longer have a need for the reserve, or must we at the same time specify where it goes?
Well, I think you want a placeholder for that money where it goes, because as soon as you remove it from the reserve, it has to be categorized as something else. And I think I tend to agree with President Ohilski. We don't want that sitting in a general fund or an operating account for any period of time. And
but that assumes we are going to have an easy agreement on what to do with it right away.
Oh, I think we may.
Okay.
We'll see. Let's go through questions, then we'll come to public comment, and then we'll bring it back.
Okay.
Well, basically, what we're doing here is we have to. The idea about leaving a placeholder amount of money in there, I think that does have to be clarified with the auditor, because my understanding is that we have to clear it completely.
And if we do, then we'll know before our
We'll know before we do that. So we'll get that clarified.
I was told by the auditors, by Adam, that it has to be completely removed. Now, in the event that some future time down the line we get the franchise back, then of course we can just put it back on the books, and call it 651 or whatever fund we want to call it at that point in time. But as it sits for the fiscal year as of 2014, the year that has been, or 2015, sorry, 2015 audit, June 30th, 2015 audit, it has to come off the books. That's my understanding.
You guys can clarify that and bring it back to us next meeting. So,
well, but I think what they're looking for too is how we're going to what we're going to call it, or where we want it to go. I think that's something we need to discuss tonight.
Well, we'll discuss that after public comment.
Yes. So.
Any more questions before we go to public comment, Chuck?
Well, I was just wondering if this is how we fund our commitment to the Basin Management Committee.
Thank you for that question. So any more questions? Any more questions? Okay, we'll open it to public comment then on this particular item.
Richard Margeson. You still retain the power even if there's no money in the account. There shouldn't be a few dollars in there just as a placeholder. It's then an accounting in every financial from here on out. There's going to be a page in there for... Anyway. As far as where it goes, I think there's two funds it needs to go to. I think water and fire. We keep talking about grants for the water fund,
some of those are available if you have matching funds. And, you know, I have to disagree with Margaret, and I think the district needs to look into a past precedent that was set for this community with the disadvantaged community designation for the wastewater project. I know for a fact, because I went up to Sacramento with Pablo to give public comment to get the designation that day. I was in the room. Maybe somebody needs to make a phone call to Pablo on that history and what happened that day, because he spoke on behalf of the county and I spoke on behalf of the disadvantaged people we deal with through organizations I'm involved in. And that was an exception because we didn't meet the requirements in the statute, but the exception was granted because of the uniqueness of the demographics of this community. So I hate to disagree with Margaret, but I think you may have a nexus to something down the road. And if some of that money was set aside for either Chuck's suggestion for the Basin Management Committee, possible into reserve for future projects that might be tied to grants, and then the rest of it, whatever percentage you determine, I think needs to go to fire. And I think the nexus there you could draw is, you know, maybe continuing some of the Fire Safe Council clearing of properties around the community, those kind of things, the fire breaks up around Cabrillo and the outlying areas of the community, besides helping the reserves for budget shortfalls due to contract increases in the future. I think there's a lot to talk about. I think it's definitely a finance agenda item of significance. But do some investigation on that disadvantaged designation.
Thank you. Lindy?
I was going to suggest that I think fire is something that covers every citizen in our district. Water doesn't. But the basin management costs do, so maybe those are two funds to look at as placement for half and half or something.
Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back. I'm going to go with my suggestion first, and then you guys can throw it out. I mean, I thought because of the state non-funding, the Fire Safe Council, and the chipping program that would be no longer in effect, those were directly tied to the solid waste program. So my proposal would be to take these reserves and move them to the fire fund for those purposes. So that's where I'm coming from on this.
Well, along those lines, I think the chipping fund, what is the state grant, is no longer is out there. However, what I think we need to do too is we've spent, through Fire Safe Council grants, there's been a lot of time and money spent on clearing our perimeter, clearing the Bay Ridge Greenbelt, and some of the other lots around, like off of Lupine, I believe it is. And I think that that's one area that's not really built into the fire budget at this point in time, is basically a fee or a fund to maintain that, because we have now to maintain it. We don't want to go backwards on it, and it's going to grow. We need to keep it down. That's the bottom line, and that's something that the fire department knows how to do. We've been very successful with it in that sense. I think that with the water too, I mean, we do have, you know, the point being made about having more money in the reserve funds for getting grants is a valid point also. So I think, you know, I have, my recommendation is to essentially split it into those two departments.
Lou?
I think if we had a pool for matching requirements of some of this off money, that would be wonderful. It'd give us a head start. It would help the basin plan implementation and a whole bunch of other things.
Can I speak now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No problem. At the FAC meeting, this was brought up before,
And one suggestion that was made is also in the staff report as well, relates to the bond rating that we have, relates to our credit rating. Because we went through a bankruptcy before, our credit rating has declined, and we're in the process of rebuilding that. And you guys are talking once again about grants and matching funds and so forth, but also it's been looked upon has also been loans. In order to get a proper loan or better interest rate, we need to have a better credit rating. So that was talked about and discussed as something that could be something that this funds could go into to help pay down those kind of issues, to help improve our rating, our credit rating. I'm just going to mention that to you just to have something else out there instead of the water or instead of the fire. Now, don't get me wrong, I like both of those also. I just want to throw out more. There's other options available as well. So,
thanks. And as much as I'd like to see the water fund get grants in instead of being kind of a source of grants for other things, I think for me the red line has to be that the solid waste was community wide, and so whatever it goes to one way or the other. I mean, we've talked a lot, even back before I was on the board, when I was on FAC, there's a lot of concern about equity issues, and I think this money comes from everybody in town paying their garbage bill. I know that legally I don't think we have to do it that way, but that seems like the right thing to do, is to apply it to something that works for everybody. However, having said that, it was pointed out, Lindy pointed out that because of the Basin Management Committee, it's, you know, that's indirectly, I guess, through us working for everybody as well. But seems like the fire department serves everybody, and we're going to be, I guess my question would be, you know, the chipping is limited or is related to solid waste, but just in general, broader, the fire department, we're looking at, you know, issues keeping that funded. Maybe that's a solution more broadly to the fire department.
Chuck, you haven't weighed in yet.
We have to find a way to fund the Basement Management Committee. I guess that was just on my mind after the other day. Everybody kicked into this fund. Everybody benefits from the fire department. As the past vice chair of the ESAC, I don't see how I could disagree with your recommendation.
So it seems like we have a consensus on at least some of it going to fire, just a question of whether all of it goes to fire. So I don't know if we want to take an up or down vote on that or how you guys want to go. I mean, I'm pretty adamant that I think it all should go there, quite frankly.
Well, I tend to agree on that. I mean, you can name it the Fire Mitigation Reserve Fund or something, you know.
I mean, we have the opportunity to move this again later. We're just doing this right now to get through the audit process.
And I appreciate Mike Doyle's comment, too, but we're talking about $165,000. What is that going to do for our bond rating in the big scheme of things? You know, it's not going to make that big of a move. Whereas, you know, we do have immediate fire issues around here. And, you know, the fire department worked hard to get our fire rating reduced, you know, so people are paying less. And part of that was the perimeter clearing and the chipping that went along with it.
Okay. I just had a thought, too, on maybe what's going on with this audit issue. The accounting rules don't always follow in lockstep the government code or everything else. Maybe the fact that we have de jure solid waste power, they're not looking at that. They're looking at that we don't de facto do solid waste. And so maybe that's something we need to get clarified.
Well, and I would say, I mean, if I could piggyback on that before you answer, I mean, it's the same thing with, we have recreation powers and we have recreation funds. So I mean, that's what prompted my question.
The difference between what you're referring to is that the Park and Recreation is not an enterprise fund. It's different. It's not a revenue generating fund. That's the key. That's what I was thinking about when I was discussing with Mr. Okay. Seitz, was the fact of the matter that we have an enterprise fund, and the solid waste was an enterprise revenue generating fund. So now that we no longer have any revenue, we can no longer have that fund. That's the rationale. That's the reason for it. It's not like a park and recreations fund or something like that. That doesn't have revenue generating. And there's actual money still sitting in that. That's why we have it on the books still. We still have it as Fund 900 on our books, even though it doesn't generate any revenue. But this one is an enterprise fund, and that's why we have to do it this way.
Okay. So, yeah, Lou.
Yeah. Don't give it all to one of those choices. A chunk for matching money for grants, a chunk for the fire function, and a chunk for whatever you want to do. But if you use it for matching money, and if you're not stupid and actually can write proposals, you're going to get that back more. It's going to double the money. The impact.
I like that, except that I think that the grant process is so long and tedious. We'll have opportunities to find our match somewhere. I mean, it's nice to have money sitting around, but let's put it to use.
Well, can we get some motion here so we can give them direction so we can move forward here?
I move that the board authorize staff to prepare a resolution for adoption authorizing the transfer of the remaining general fund contingency monies for the solid fund, waste fund 650, requires four votes, effective July 1, 2014, consistent with this action, and return at the next board meeting for adoption.
And designate it where? I think staff needs that direction.
Just reading the staff recommendation.
Staff needs direction.
We need direction on where. I mean, I made my feelings pretty clear on that.
Well,
so.
I'd like to amend that to put 100% of it into the fire.
I'll accept that.
Just a question. Do you want it into the general contingency fund for the fire? Do you want to create a special fire fund? What special fire reserve fund? See, that's the issue. That's what we're running into from a procedural point of view.
Yeah, I think unless somebody has a better phrase, the fire mitigation reserve fund.
That's fine with me.
I accept.
Okay, so you have a motion and a second. Any more discussion?
I'll third it.
Pardon?
I'll third it.
You'll third it? Okay.
Can we read the motion?
It's a new parliamentary procedure and beta test.
That's going to be fun to read that one.
The motion is what's in the staff recommendation with the second for the addition to it that it would be designated to go in a fire fund reserve called the Fire Mitigation
Fund. Reserve Fund.
Yes, that's the motion.
Clean and simple.
Okay, can we take a roll call?
Director Storm?
Yes.
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 Director Susania?
Yes.
Director
Turnowski?
No. President Joseph?
Yes.
Four-fifths.
Okay, with that, then we'll... That's the end of our action items. We'll have director's comments. Before we go to director's comments, I just want to clarify one thing that I mentioned, but I want to make sure everybody's aware of it. If you're interested in either serving on a committee as a member of the public, the applications are available at our office or online. Or if you're interested in serving as a chair or a vice chair of a committee, you guys need to communicate that to me so I can make those appointments next meeting. Okay?
Okay.
All right. With that, I'll go over to...
Well, along with that, just as a summary here, as far as the committees, ESAC, there's three openings. FAC has four openings, and Utilities has four openings also, including the alternate positions on that. And then are we doing future agenda items also?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like us to, early in the year, I'm not quite sure the procedure, but to review our personnel policy for the district. I believe it is basically reflects times before email even. You know, we have a lot of issues in there. And also definitely as soon as practical to discuss the recycled water contracts and what our position should be on those.
Okay, Jeff.
Yeah, I certainly support the recycled water contracts being looked at again. I would like
to try and find some way to resolve that whole issue about property taxes that are going to the water department. I mean, what can we do? If it was $180,000, something like that, what can we do with that money? The county, it's my understanding they don't really have the right to, they're not telling us that we have to use it with water. That's just what we decided a while back. And so I would like to put that to rest, finally get a real clear picture of what we can do with that money and make a decision about what to do with it. Just one of those loose ends.
Hanging out. Congratulations on your election.
Well, you too. And thanks for everybody for putting their confidence in me. And Director Wright stole my thunder. I have employment policies written on here. See, and one of the little tricks I do with my clients is I send them an email every New Year saying, here's all of the 10,000 new employment laws that apply to you, dear employer, for 2016. And so it's just natural for me to go over that, and I think that there's some things that we could talk about that would be fruitful. I also agree with talking about the recycled water, and I also agree with getting. I mean, I feel like we can do anything with that money as a legal matter, you know, and I think we're going to have to, whether or not it's this year or next year, one of these days we're going to be faced with a choice over whether we want to continue subsidizing half the town's water or whatever, you know, depending on what Cal Fire does with us. So I think that's something we should talk about too. And thanks. Thank you to everybody. It's been a lovely night. Happy New Year.
Yep. Okay, so I'd like to again thank Director Wright for his service over the past year.
Thank you.
I'd also like to thank Margaret for her service as our interim general manager.
Temporary,
I'm sorry. Temporary general manager. And I'd like to thank you guys for your votes, and I look forward to serving the community in the upcoming year. So with that, we'll go ahead and adjourn.
Thank you.